going to be a really good service because you get to hear from our friend and missionary partner, Dusty DeBoof. Would you please make your way to the stage?
Oh, appreciate it.
Wow. You know, am I on? It won't matter. I'm really loud. I have nothing to say. Do you believe that? No. I really did. I had stuff I wanted to talk about when I got up here. I remember. Okay, bear with me. So we just took up an offering, and Pastor Mike did me the great privilege of letting you know that he was going to take up a missions offering at the end of service. And I am going to say something that may seem a little counterproductive on my end, but it's the right way. If you came today and you got enough money to give one offering, you give it to the church. You always bring your first tithe, your first money to the storehouse. If God has blessed you and you want to, yes, we need your money, of course. We're going to use it all over the place. And we need it. But what I do know is that God's promises are true. And that if He wants us there, He's got to make it happen. And we don't try to make it happen for Him by going around the way He set up shop. You understand? Now, I want to thank you ahead of time because I know the people that are supposed to contribute to this ministry will, and I don't even need to worry about it. I'm just going to say thank you. I know how much money is in the bank, but just because people tell me, I really don't care. I know that if God wants us there, He's got to keep us there. And it's His job. And people, let me tell you how this works. I went into a church for the first time. I'd never been into a church. They said, come back a month later. We want to do an extravagant gift. I walked out a month later with $216,000. I'm telling you, God takes care of His work. You need to take care of being obedient. Be obedient to your heart. Same sentence. If God is telling you right now that this is your ministry, oh, buddy, you empty that bank account. Because God will be there for you too. All right. I just wanted to say that about the offering because I really appreciate that. But I want everybody to understand my heart. It starts here in the house. It starts here in the body. It starts here in the people. And I'm not ready to preach yet. Let's stop. Pastor Mike called me. Well, I called him. Because it's time for me to do my legacy home tour. And I said, Pastor Mike, I said, listen, I'd like to get in and do my video. He says, I'd like to give you the whole Sunday. And I said, I'd really rather not. He said, what do you mean? I said, man, I'm in the truck 18 hours a day working weekends. How am I going to prepare anything? Know this going into today, what we're coming out of. So what you receive, just be glad it's here. All right? No, I told him, I said, listen, I don't have a lot. I mean, I always bring, you know, God into talking about the legacy home because it's always Him. And he says, you know what, it'll be fine. Just bring a nugget. And so today I decided, you know what, let's call it Legacy in a Nugget. But then I started thinking what I do is more of a rant. So we're going to call it Legacy in a Rant. Sound good? By the way, this morning, Joel, Power in the Blood, doggone. Am I right? Dude, that song was a time machine. I was 8 years old sitting right there in this building. Something about this building and that song all of a sudden all just came together and I was... It was crazy. I had never experienced it. It was like, wow. It was so timely. It was perfect. Praise the Lord. Made me a kid again sitting there. And then if you take a look at that kid there, Joel talked about him, and this guy here, and you wonder, what the heck? I'll tell you what the heck. God decided to show off. I don't get any credit. It's not my abilities. It's not the things I do. You can find stuff stuck to the bottom of your shoe that can do what I do. But God shows His power in taking a guy like me, transforming him and making him who you see today. Now, you still don't see everything, trust me. If you knew what I knew about this guy right here, you'd be like, I don't know if he should still be up there. But I didn't put me here. God did. So, I don't try to hide up my deficiencies. I don't try to cover up all my mistakes. I'm free. Covered in His grace. Covered in His mercy. And yeah, I'm the same screw-up I've always been. But God uses it. You see, we always seem to think that we have to get ducks in a row before God can move. Before God could use us. And doggone it, this isn't even... Let me just say this and then we're going to move on. It's not that way. It just requires obedience, willingness. It requires a desire. Quit worrying about all that little stuff. When we, you know, over in the Philippines, when I lead people to Christ, you know, they all come in with baggage. How many of you guys came in with baggage? How many of you were dirty smokers? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. How many of you are still dirty smokers? Does that make you less God's? Does that make you less belonging to Him? We all have struggles. But when we learn that when we come to God with 100% of our life, He is faithful. And all those things that need to change, like dirty smoking, not necessarily because I think it's some immortal sin and you're going to go to hell for it. I'm saying you'll die early. And the gift of this life that God has given you to be used for Him is cut short because of a choice you made. You understand? I'm not worried about your problems. I tell every one of them when they come in, they have vices, they have struggles, and I say, I don't care. You just worry about falling in love with Jesus. And everything that needs to be removed from your life will, as long as you're following Jesus. See you, son. This has nothing to do with my message today. I get a little sidetracked, and I am so sorry. Today is Legacy in a Rant. So we are going to be talking about the Legacy Home, but not a whole lot, because as Pastor asked me to deliver a nugget as well, it was going to happen anyway, as you can see. I just can't stop it. I did prepare something, and by the time I got out of my easy chair this morning, it looked more like a sermon than a nugget. So we will see what happens, because it's all here, it's not here, but He's there, and whatever's supposed to come out of here will come from here. You understand? Because if you don't, I just made all that up. So if it worked, awesome. So we are going to start with a Legacy Home video. This movie, it is almost a movie, it's 12 minutes long. So it's long, but I refused to cut a minute of it. It is so good. And I want to get you guys all primed. We're going on tour right now for this simple reason. We have a Christmas benefit, and I would say 80 to 90% of our yearly funding comes through this Christmas benefit. God has been so faithful. When we first started doing this, we had other people that do ministry, and they said, no, don't do it at Christmas. It's a bad time. It's a bad time to do it at Christmas. Money's going out to gifts. Money's going out to all this stuff. Don't do it at Christmas. We have never had a Christmas benefit when we didn't walk away with $100,000. Not once. So this is a big deal for us, and God is so powerful. But this year is something special, and I'm going to tell you before we play the video, because I want you to start thinking on it. And as soon as you see the green light come across Mom's Facebook page or on KCWN, you jump on, because we only have seating for 600, and we're bringing Todd Agnew in this year. So it's going to be a great night. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to give God the glory. We're going to feast on country catering and have us some prime rib or whatever it is she's serving. And God is going to support the ministry that He's put up. And we're going to have a good time doing it. So if you are going to go to that, make sure you get in quick, because she will have to reserve them. So without further ado, now that I've squashed the spirit good and well, let's see if we can get it fired up again, shall we? All right, let's go ahead and play that video. I stood up in the middle just to get that extra clap. I need affirmation. You know, I'm one of those guys. You know, moving to the Philippines and giving up everything you own, taking your family, your six-year-old daughter, your three-year-old son, leaving your family, going to another part of the world that you know nothing of, where they live at a much, much lower standard. It's hard. It's worth it. Do you know when God called Don and I to this work? He did not dig through resumes. He didn't look at my qualifications. He didn't ask me what things I can handle and what things I couldn't. He didn't ask me if I was prepared to be marched up into the mountains by the New People's Army. He didn't ask me if I was ready to handle a child that was molested at age 3. He didn't ask my wife and I if we were comfortable with this scenario. This was not an interview. You see, a lot of times people see the work that's been done over there and they try to give my wife and I credit. They try to elevate us to this place of some kind of super holy spiritual guru dude. Yeah, that's spiritual right there, guru dude. What I shared with you before I started is exactly the same. We have none of the abilities that it takes to do this work. Never did. We don't have the schooling. We don't have the attributes. We don't have the character for most of it. So when God called us, it's not like He looked through the resumes and He figured out who was strongest for this position and who was more comfortable in this area. What He did was He came down and He put a passion in our hearts, and then He gave us the choice of whether or not we were going to be willing. Whether or not we were going to obey and follow. People put us on a pedestal like we've done all of this stuff. We have done nothing. If you guys truly saw the person and the fights and the struggles that I have in here, you would not be raising your hand to go either. But God doesn't look at our qualities. He doesn't look at our abilities. He looks at one thing, one, and that's the saddest thing, because we as Christians have moved into this new society, Christian, whatever, you put it into the words that make sense. Where all of a sudden, you have to be a certain quality to go somewhere, and I'm not qualified, so-and-so is better than this, and so-and-so is better than that. Well, I've got all of these other things going on. I can't possibly pull away from this and go do that. We start deciding whether or not we can handle this, or whether God should be even leading us into this. You know, we all say that God is all-knowing and all-powerful and all this, that, and the other, but the truth is when it comes down to Him calling you, all of a sudden we question His judgment. I did. Still do. Still here. 15 years later. That's nuts. 15 years later. God, or people have a tendency, and then when we come to places, we feel almost awkward because they try to put us to this place that it's not us. We're just people. You see, I believe wholeheartedly that so much of this world is not even being scratched because Christians that are able to through Christ don't, because they deem themselves as unavailable, unworthy. They won't do it. Oh, I'm tired.
I'm not comfortable. We also believe in this day and age as Christians that we are entitled to some amount of peace. And we talk about God's peace and His joy. And we say, well, you know, I don't feel much peace with that, so I'm not going to do it. Oh, I don't get the cut. Oh, I'm stretched a little thin here. We decide how much we can handle and be effective of, rather than just being willing to our Maker to be used. Wherever He puts us. A lot of people think, well, I can't change all of that. Then just grab a piece of it and go to town. So what? You can't change world hunger. Feed somebody. You see, we view everything as us being unqualified. Well, you are looking at the most unqualified person on the planet standing before you 15 years into an international ministry that is still strong and prevailing. And it's not because of me and it's not because of her. In fact, it shows God's glory all the more to pick out a complete failure and then to bring him up and her up and raise them up into ministry leaders. It shows God's glory, not ours. Too many times we met as Christians today that have got this little Christian family, but we believe is God's blessings. I've got my 2.5 kids. I don't know what a half kid looks like. If you have one, don't bring it in. I don't think I want to see it. Oh, we're entitled. We're good Christians. We're entitled to have our 3-car home, our 2-car garage. We shouldn't have these debt. We're children of the Most High God. We shouldn't have these pressures. We should have peace. The Bible says He brings us peace. It brings us joy. And that does not bring me joy. Oh, I'm stretched too thin. I'm stressed. If I do that, I'm going to come unglued. Be Elijah up in this joint, bald-headed. I'm going to pull out my hair. I just said, up in this joint. I believe that happened. Just be glad I didn't cuss. Inside story, right? Not me. It wasn't me. Shut up. I've been really convicted this week, and I'm gonna air my dirty laundry. Is that all right? And I will get to Scripture. You're all thinking, oh, this guy's got a lot of good ideas, but there's no substance. I'll get to it. I've been really convicted this week, and I shared a little bit of it earlier. I've been really busy, and it's hard. I got a ministry in the Philippines in order to make a living here. You know it costs a lot more to live here than in the Philippines. Apparently, I can't live on a Filipino salary in America. So, I had to work. Well, now I've got this line, and I'm stretched real thin, and I'm putting in all the, you know, while the work is there, you got to work. You got to bring it in. You got to bring it in. Well, I've got this whole, actually, majority part of my life that is more important that's taking the back burner. Oh, but it's good things. I'm responsible for my family. So in order to get myself any kind of peace, I design it. To get any kind of rest, I design it. For some reason, I don't think that God can give me that peace and rest unless I give Him a window to put it in. Can I just be real? Realer than I want to be? Is that all right? This last Wednesday was Fields of Faith, and I was asked to be the speaker. I don't want to tell you this, but I'm going to. I've been working 18 hours a day. That night, after the Fields of Faith, I had to leave at 1 o'clock in the morning. After getting in at 6 that night, I was tired. I knew it was coming, and I called him a couple days ahead of time, and I said, hey, can you find somebody else? I had a good reason to make that decision. It made sense. But it was wrong. It was wrong. Yeah, I'm tired. Yeah, I need that peace and that joy.
But it doesn't come because I designed it. It comes from within. It comes in the midst of chaos. It comes when the world is upside down. That's when that peace comes. It's applied when we're living out in obedience. It's applied when we're following God's will in our life, regardless of how we feel about it. Sometimes it comes when we're overworked. Sometimes when it comes when we're just too tired. As Christians, we think that we should be getting this kind of peace in our regular everyday. No, the kind of peace that comes from God is supernatural. It's not planned. It's though the world is coming undone. Somehow, I've got this joy, and I've got this rest, and I've got this peace, and you don't get it by shoving the things of God aside. You get it by knowing that your Heavenly Father knows what you need. He knows that you need that rest. He knows that you need a break. So you be obedient and you trust that He is going to meet the need that you have in your life. But that's not the way we operate as the church. We try to help Him. We schedule it. Joel, I called you this week and apologized to you. At least, did I say I'm sorry? I called you, told you. I don't know if I said I'm sorry. If I didn't, I'm sorry. Was I justified in not going? Yeah. It was. Was it right? No. Who knew? I took away an opportunity that God could have done something really powerful. And I took it away because I wasn't willing. I was tired. I was busy. I had good reasons. That doesn't make it right. I was mostly convicted as I thought about my grandpa and grandma this week. Because at 98 years old, he put me to shame. To shame. And now, Uncle Arvin, you know a lot more of Grandpa than I did. Grandpa and Grandma. I only got to see the twilight years. But what I saw is a selfless man that never pulled back because he was tired. Never pulled back because he needed a break. He never pulled back because he was stressed. If he said he was going to be there, he would be there. He wouldn't get up in the limelight. He was in the side. He was working here, working there. But he was always working. The time that the picture I have in my mind that will never go away is of a very aged grandpa and grandma on the square up here holding anti-abortion signs on a Sunday afternoon. Who does that? Who does that? You can't tell me at 98 years old he wasn't tired, stressed, and busy with 100 other things. You see, God's peace, His rest, His joy, it doesn't come from planning it. It comes from trusting Him, from jumping in with both feet, knowing that your Father knows what you need. And He's going to provide for you in that moment. You see, that's the supernatural peace that we miss. But today, we as Christians, we live busy, busy, busy lives, don't we? It gets hard. Some of you are so busy you may only see your wife an hour a day, or your husband an hour a day. You may pray for the kids right before bed, but you really haven't seen them all day long. And so we feel like in order to get that peace and rest that we're hungering for, what we need to do is cut stuff out of our lives. I think you need to find your center. I think you need to prioritize. And I think you need to put God's work first. And then when we do this, we're showing Him that we trust Him to meet our needs for rest, for peace, for calm. How many of you would die for some calm? If you've ever been around many kids, and I've been around a lot of kids, there are times where I you know, I could just kill them all. I really could, you know. It's a good thing firearms aren't legal in the Philippines because we go on ABC retreat sometime. Well, every year we go on an ABC retreat, and I've never been out of my mind more tired. The kids don't sleep for 1 week. And of course, you know, tired kids cannot be unsupervised. So I don't sleep for 1 week. So exhausted and seriously to the edge of killing them all. And then one of them will open up with the way that God is working in their life. And all of a sudden you see it. It's not about me. It's not about how I feel. I'm here to serve the King. We walk around expecting God to serve us. Give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that, give me peace, give me rest, give me blah, 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 blah. What are you given? People call salvation a free gift. That's a dirty lie. Hear me now. Salvation's a trade. Salvation's a trade. Everything you are for everything He is. That's a good trade. It feels like a gift, but it's a trade. Do you want those things in your life? The way to them isn't to take the difficulty out of your life. It's to grab a hold of Jesus by the hand and walk right into Him. You're not serving a God that doesn't know you. You're serving a God that knows even the thought you're hiding from everybody around you right now. He knows what you need. I skipped over a whole... You know what? I don't think I even touched these notes. How far along am I, by the way? What time are we supposed to get out of here? Well, I should ask the question, when are we usually out of here? I haven't even gotten to Scripture yet. When are we usually out of here? 11:15, 2 minutes. For those of you that haven't been watching the clock. Can I jump back and just give you a couple points real quick that I may have skipped because I got passionate and taken off? I said earlier that God is not looking for your ability. He's looking for your willingness. And as I looked through Scripture this morning, God used a staff to split the sea. He used a horn to break down walls. He spit on mud to heal the blindness. He used a stick to make an axe head float. Right? He used a fisherman, tax collectors, and zealot to bring salvation into this earth. You see, we so often feel like we are not equipped, and so we don't want to hassle, or we don't want to learn, or whatever it is. God doesn't need you to be able. If He can bring down Jericho's wall with a horn, He can do what He wants to do through you. You don't need to be able. And that was the point I meant to make, after talking about my wife and I, because obviously we're the stick in the water. Okay. Now let's get into our Scripture, shall we? Is this real seamless? Did I keep you? Are you all right? So I dug up a couple passages, and we're going to discuss them real quick, because Christianity today is way, way different than the way Jesus designed it to be. We really do believe that we are entitled to some amount of comfort because we're Christians. This is flawed thinking. I don't know how anybody can read the New Testament and come to this conclusion. I have not recognized in the New Testament one single person that followed Christ and life was just all bliss, everything that they, all their needs met in this peace and harmony. No, what is it that you find when you look through the New Testament of people that follow Jesus? What have you learned? What happens? Persecution. Very good. What about their homes? I mean, the 12 gave up their homes, followed Jesus. Walking around in the wilderness, you can't tell me that that was comfortable. The entire Christian faith started out just like that. People leaving everything, walking away from even family and friends, leaving their home, no paychecks, no money, because they're super qualified to go out and start a new ministry. No, they're not. You found fishermen, found tax collectors, but they were willing. In Matthew 8, 18 through 22, it says, when Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave the order to cross to the other side. And the teachers of the law came to him. And he said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. How many of us said that when we accepted Christ? Huh? How many of us meant it? Maybe you meant it topically until it started costing and still it started hurting. Jesus replied to him, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You see, all the comfort that we expect as Christians is the very thing that Jesus is telling them to walk away from. The very Christian life that we live right now, all of the comforts, Jesus is saying, really? Because you're really into your comforts right now. You have your home, your family. You've built up a nice little life. You want to come with me? Great. We're going to sleep over there on the rock. We don't have a home. And God's going to feed us with whatever comes our way. Another one comes and he says, oh, let me bury my father. You guys know this text? Yeah? I'm sure you do. You guys are a Bible-knowing people. Always appreciated that. I'm in some churches where I have to finish every scripture because they just don't know them. I'm so shocked. Anyway, I digress. Jesus said something that seemed almost brash, almost insulting. This man just lost his father, and Jesus says, let the dead bury the dead. You come follow me. So, what part of our 2024 Christian life represents that? That Jesus comes before everything and every person in our life. Jesus didn't say that this man didn't love his father and that he shouldn't be able to bless him, but he's saying that if you're going to follow me, then following me is more important than losing your family. It's more important than losing your home. If you're in, it's all in. This is the trade that we were just talking about. Either you're in or you're out, but if you're in, it's all in. Jesus is willing, and he wants to bring, and he wants to walk alongside of you, and he wants to, well, I'm going to use the word prosper, but probably not the way you're thinking. He wants to prosper you in his kingdom. He wants to raise you up, but that's going to require that you're willing to put everything else behind him and behind his will. Not your father, not your mother, not your wife, not your husband, not your family member, not your house, not your car. Nothing else compares. This is what Jesus is saying, is that there is room in my house for you, but not your stuff. Oof. That was good. I didn't plan that. That was good. Remember that, Mike. A room for you, just not your stuff. Jesus is saying that following me means leaving everything that is valuable to this flesh. Everything that is valuable to this heart, because nothing else compares. I'm the only thing that matters. And when you get that priority straight, then you can be my disciple. And then I'm going to use you. I'm going to send you to the all places of the world, or I'm going to send you in your community, or I'm going to send you to people that need your help, or I'm going to send you to do this, or I'm going to send you to do that. But before I can, you have to dedicate yourself to me. This whole 20th century Christian life where we have all of these comforts and all of these, you know, this whole line. And we think that's what we are to expect as Christians. I can't find it. What I find is that a Christian life is hard. What I find is it requires more than I have to give. But what I find is that through it all, I have that peace. And I have that joy. I don't need to design it for Him. Got one more passage and then I'll get you out of here, I promise. Oops, that's actually Apple Pay. Okay. All right, this one is great. And I promise not to go too much longer on this. I will get you out of here by 12 o'clock. Then Jesus said, sorry, this is Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Jesus said to His disciples, whoever wants to be My disciple must deny themselves. What does He mean by that? What does He mean? I think everybody in here knows what He means by that. Nobody in here wants to say they know what He means by that. What is denying yourself? Every single thing that you desire outside of Him, that's self. Everything that is not Christ in your life, that's self. Everything you want to do, your time, your family, your business, that's all self. Now, is Jesus saying that you have to walk away from it and let it all burn and smoke and die? No, He's saying that you have to prioritize. You do have to take, you have a responsibility to take care of those things. I'm not saying, this isn't a free pass. Oh, I'm following Jesus, I don't have to do anything else. No. No, we still have responsibilities, but you have to prioritize. You have to put the king in the chair. The throne is probably a better word than the chair. He goes on and he says, they must take up their cross and follow Me. Now, who can tell me what a cross is? And don't just say where Jesus died. What is it? What is a cross? It is. It is the death penalty. This is the tool used. It's a tool for what was? I had a better phrase for that earlier, but that was way before, and I'm way past that now. It's a tool that is designed to, in a very slow process, to torture and kill whoever is hung on it. Now Jesus is saying to take up their cross. So I want you to think about this: to take up your personal cross. Whatever it may be your bondage, it may be your difficulties, it may be your sin, it may be scheduled too tight, it may be no rest, it may be anything. But what I see here is that He tells you not to find a place to put it down and rest. He doesn't say carry it for a while and then when you get tired, go ahead and lay it down. No, He says, take up your cross and follow Me. There's never a place to put it down. So if you came into this Christian walk and this Christian life and you're assuming that somewhere along the lines there's a plateau or a place where you can sit on a lawn chair and catch some sun. Living with Christ is like swimming up a very strong river. As soon as you stop swimming, what happens? You start going down. That's what life with Christ is. So if you're coming in thinking that this supernatural peace and joy is just the adder on top of everything else, no, it comes with obedience. It comes with surrender. It comes with laying it all down and trusting that God is going to have your back. Life with Christ is carrying a cross. It's not putting it down. It's not, it's just believing that He sees you in this moment with that cross on your shoulder. He hasn't forgotten you. He's with you. He has a purpose for it. So are you going to put it down? Are you going to trust His purpose and keep going forward? He goes on to finish this in the next verse, and I'll just close off of this. He said, he who wants to save his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for me will save it. Now, I don't think I have to tell you guys he's not actually talking about death. Right? This isn't martyrdom. What does it mean to try and save your life? It means living by self. That means planning an opportunity for your peace and your rest and letting other ministries and other opportunities where God can use you go away. Because you're trying to save self. You're trying to save your life. At the end, you'll lose it. But Jesus says, the one that loses his life for me will save it. So what does that look like? What does that picture look like? For me, it means telling Joel that I'll never stand him up again. What's it mean for you? What are you not doing that you should be? Maybe you feel inadequate. Maybe you don't feel like enough. Maybe you don't want to be embarrassed. Whatever you're fighting, you need to let it go. You need to grab a hold of Jesus and trust that He loves you. He loves you. The very best that you have in mind for you, His best for you is so much better that you cannot even imagine. So why would you even want the responsibility of designing it? Trust Him. We're done. How's that for closing? I'm a wonderful closer, powerful closer. Now, can we pray? And before we do, actually, just bow your heads, would you? Bring some music up. Let's do this right, Joel. Come on, man. Thank you, brother. I had a few questions. I'd like you all to bow your head. I'd like you to close your eyes, and I'm going to wait for Joel to start bringing on that spiritual soother. Why are you here? Why did you get up? Put your clothes on, take your shower, hopefully in the other direction. Why did you come in here today? Are you here because this is what Christians are supposed to do? Are you here because you're required, because you're saved, to be here? What did you come in here expecting this morning, to check the box? Why did you come to church this morning? If you came to fulfill some obligation that you think that you have, that in order to be this Christian that you have to check the attendance box, you missed it. You think that this is what Christians do and I'm supposed to be here. Or did you come today to surrender? Did you come for marching orders? Did you come just to sit on the pew and receive all that there is to give so that you can walk out of here feeling better about yourself? Or did you come in here because you're already right with God? And now you need orders. You see, this is why we're supposed to come to church. We're supposed to grow, not stay at milk our whole life. Why are you here this morning? Are you here to just make sure that your life is safe and sound? Or to surrender your life freely to be used of God? God has a plan for you and a purpose, but He's not going to force it. He has a work that He has set before you that is just designed for your hand. But you have to be willing to take it up. You say, well, I'm not ready for that. I don't have those abilities. You don't know what you have. Why are you here? My desire is that when you come here on a Sunday morning, you would come with a heart that is looking for a way to serve the kingdom. That you would take that up as your responsibility and your duty, because you are a child of God, and that everything that He has given you, it surpasses so much greater anything you could have done for yourself. And so you trust Him. You come here because He has plans for you. You come here because He has a duty for you. Now it's up to you. Are you going to schedule it in? Are you going to look and see if you can fit this little calling into your life? Oh, I'm too busy. Church, God is calling you. You are His people, the sheep of His pasture, and He has a design and a plan for you, but He's not going to push you. You have to come to Him. Well, today is your wake-up call. Are you ready? Listen, keep your eyes down. I don't want you to see my face. Listen to this. He's calling you now. You have stuff to do now. You don't feel equipped. You don't feel ready. You don't feel like you have the skills. He doesn't care. That thing that's in your heart, God, is that for me to do? God, is that for me to do? Yes! Take up your cross. Join the ranks. Enough of this baby Christian garbage sitting in chairs and receiving milk. Time you grab a hold of something and start swinging a hammer. Yes, He has all for you to receive, but He has work for you to do. It's time we look past ourselves this morning. That's how God works. That's how God's work reaches the nations. It's from regular, everyday people that just say yes. He's calling you. Say yes. Lord, we come to You this morning, and we're so thankful that Your Spirit is here in this house. We're so thankful that You are speaking to hearts right now. And Lord, I believe 100% You are pulling out such amazing workers for Your kingdom. People that You want to rise up to be used of You. Let us answer the call this morning. Let us receive that stirring in our hearts. Give us the focus that we may not have had before. Let us carry out the work that You have put before us. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. That's right.
What a powerful word. Dusty, thank you. When we talked, he said, I have no idea what I'm going to preach. And I said, the Lord will lead you. And it'll be good, because it always is. I so love when Dusty comes.